Imagine a child sitting at a kitchen table, learning to write her name. She is 4 years old. She has a pencil in her hand, gripped a little too tightly, and she is concentrating with her whole face. There's a piece of line paper in front of her, the kind with the dashed line in the middle of each row to show where the lowercase letters belong. Her mother is sitting next to her, not helping, just watching. The girl draws the first letter of her name, slowly, the tip of her tongue poking out between her lips. The letter is uneven. The second letter is better. By the third, her hand has started to figure out what her brain is asking it to do. She finishes the last letter, and she sits back, and she looks at what she has made. There, on the paper, in her own slightly wobbly handwriting, is her name. The first time it has ever existed in the world, written by her, in her hand. It is one word. Five letters, maybe. It took her an entire morning of practicing to be able to put it down on the page. And it is, in its small way, one of the most important things she will ever write. Because from now on, she can. From now on, when somebody hands her a piece of paper and asks her to sign it, she will be able to. She has crossed a line. She has gone from someone who can only point at her name when someone else writes it, to someone who can write it herself. Today, you're going to cross a line very much like that one. You're going to read a single, complete program written in Rust out loud with me, and by the time we are done, you will understand every piece of it. Not in some hand-wavy approximate way. Precisely. Each letter, each punctuation mark, each curly brace will mean something specific to you. And from then on, when you see a Rust program in the wild, somewhere on the internet, in someone's tutorial, on a screen at a meetup, you will not be staring at it like a foreign language. You will be reading it. This is Rust, gently. A patient introduction to how computers actually work and to one particular language for talking to them. I am your host. This is episode 7, your first program. The program we're going to read today is, by long tradition in software, the very first program that almost everyone writes when they are learning a new language. It is called the Hello World program, and it has a simple job. It prints the words Hello World to the screen. That is the whole program. It does not ask the user any questions. It does not save anything to a file. It does not connect to the internet. It puts five letters, one space, and five more letters on the screen, and then it ends. Every programming language in the world has a version of this program. And the first thing many programmers do when they meet a new language is to write its Hello World, partly because it is small enough to be approachable, and partly because it tells you, in a single sweep, almost everything you need to know about the personality of the language. Today we're going to look at Rust version, and we're going to take it apart slowly, piece by piece, and I'm going to read it aloud the way you might read a poem. Every word, every mark of punctuation, every choice will have a reason behind it. Before we begin, picture, if you can, a small file on a computer somewhere. The file has a name, and the name is main.rs. The .rs at the end is the way Rust files are always named, the way English files often end in .txt. Inside that file are three short lines of text. I will read them now, the way you might read poetry the first time, just to let the sound of them land. And then we will go back and unpack them carefully. The first line says FN main, open parenthesis, close parenthesis, space, opening curly brace. The second line, indented in from the left, says println, exclamation mark, open parenthesis, double quote, hello comma world, double quote, close parenthesis, semicolon. The third line says closing curly brace. That is the whole program. Three lines. Two of them are mostly punctuation. One is the line that actually does the work. Now, let me walk you through every piece of it, and by the end you will see why each piece is where it is. We start with the first line, FN main, with empty parentheses, and then an opening curly brace. The two letters F and N stand for the word function. In Rust, every block of work, every recipe within a larger recipe is called a function, and the way you tell Rust that you're starting a new function is by writing those two letters, F, and N. Right after the letters F, N comes a space, and then the name of the function, in this case, the word main. The word main is special. When Rust runs your program, it looks for a function called main because that is, by convention, the place where the program begins. There can be hundreds of other functions in a program, but there is one called main, and that is the door the program walks through first. After the name main, you write a pair of parentheses with nothing inside them, because this particular function does not take any information in from anywhere. It just runs. And then comes the opening curly brace, which is Rust's way of saying, the body of this function begins here. Everything between this opening brace and the matching closing brace at the end is part of the function. Curly braces are how Rust marks the boundaries of blocks of code, the same way commas mark the boundaries of clauses in English. Now we get to the heart of the program, the second line. This is the line that does the actual work. It says, print on, exclamation mark, open parenthesis, double quote, hello world, double quote, close parenthesis, semicolon. The word println is short for print line, and it is the command that tells the program to write something to the screen. The exclamation mark right after it, though, is important. It is the part most people do not expect. In Rust, an exclamation mark after a name like that does not mean shouting. It means that what you are calling is not an ordinary function, but something called a macro. We will spend more time on macros later in the show. For now, you can think of a macro as a kind of helper that knows how to write code on your behalf at compile time. It is a feature that ordinary functions cannot have. The exclamation mark is the visual cue Rust gives you that says, careful, this is a macro, not a regular function. Different rules apply. After the exclamation mark comes an opening parenthesis, and then a pair of double quotes wrapped around the words hello, comma, world. The double quotes mark a piece of text in Rust, the way you might use quotes around a phrase in English to show that the phrase is being quoted. Anything inside the double quotes is treated as a piece of writing, not as code. Then we have a closing parenthesis, and finally a semicolon, which is Rust's way of saying, this statement is finished, the sentence has ended. Move on to the next one. The third line is simply the closing curly brace, the matching counterpart to the opening one we wrote on the first line. It tells Rust that the body of the function is now finished. Everything between the two braces was the work of the main function. That work is now done. That is the whole program. Three lines. About 24 characters of real content. And inside it, in compressed form, is almost every important idea Rust has packed into a shape so small you could write it on the back of a napkin. When you run this program, the compiler reads it, checks it for errors, finds none, translates it into machine code, and then the machine code runs. The machine sees the line that says, print the text hello world to the screen, and it does exactly that. The words hello world appear, and then the program ends because the main function has no more work to do and there is nothing else to run. The whole thing, from compile to print to exit, takes a few hundredths of a second. Before we move on, I want to spend a moment on the way you actually got this program onto your computer in the first place, because the tool that makes that happen is one of Rust's quiet superpowers. Rust ships with a piece of software called Cargo, which is the workhorse you will use almost every day if you ever do any Rust at all. Cargo is the package manager, the build system, the test runner, the documentation generator, and the project starter, all rolled into one program. When you want to create a new Rust project, you type cargo new, followed by the name of the project, and Cargo creates a folder for you with a file structure already laid out and a small hello world program already written inside, exactly the three lines we just read. When you want to run that program, you type cargo run. Cargo invites the compiler to translate the program, then runs the resulting machine code and prints the output to your screen. There is no separate build step, no separate package install step, no complicated configuration file you have to write before you can start. Cargo handles the whole loop. That alone, the experience of being able to start a new project and see it run within a few seconds of installing a language, is one of the reasons new programmers who try Rust often describe their first day as smoother than they expected. Now, here is the part of all this that is genuinely worth holding on to. The program you just read is the smallest possible program you can write in Rust that actually does something. But the shape of it, the pattern of fn main, the body inside curly braces, the function calls ending with a semicolon, is the same shape every Rust program in the world has, including programs that handle a trillion requests per day at Cloudflare, including programs that schedule the cluster of computers that Amazon Lambda runs on, including programs that compile other Rust programs. They're all bigger versions of what you just read. Every one of them begins somewhere with fn main and a body inside braces and statements that end with semicolons. You have, in 15 minutes, learned the skeleton that holds up every Rust program in existence. There is one more thing I want to say before we close, because we are now in territory where artificial intelligence agents become part of the picture. If you ask an agent to write a small Rust program for you today, it will produce something that looks very much like what we just read. The agent will not invent some strange new structure. It will write fn main with a body in curly braces with statements ending in semicolons. The reason this matters for someone in your position who is going to be reviewing what agents produce rather than writing every line by hand is that even at this early stage, you can already read the shape of the code the agent gives you. You can already check that it starts with fn main, that the braces are balanced, that the statements end where they should. Those small literacy skills add up faster than you might expect. A few episodes from now, you will be able to look at most agent-produced Rust code and know whether the basic structure is sound, even before you understand every word in it. I want to be very honest about something. The future of this show is preparing you for is one in which much of the actual typing of code is done by an artificial intelligence agent, working under your direction, producing files for you to read and approve. In that future, the question is not whether you can write a Rust program from scratch by yourself. The question is whether you can read what the agent produced, whether you can spot the moment when it has done something wrong, whether you can ask it the right question to make it try again. The compiler is on your side here. It will refuse to translate broken programs. It will tell you exactly where it stopped. The compiler is, in a real sense, your second pair of eyes. The agent writes, the compiler checks, you read. That is the new shape of the work, and the foundation we built today is the start of being able to do all three. Three things to carry away from today. The first is that every Rust program starts with a function called main, marked by the letters fn, with its body enclosed in a pair of curly braces, and that pattern is universal from the smallest hello world to the largest production system. The second is that the small exclamation mark after a word like println is Rust's way of telling you. This is a macro, which is a kind of helper that follows different rules from ordinary functions, and that exclamation mark is worth noticing every time you see it. The third is that you can now read a complete, working Rust program out loud, slowly, and know what every piece of it means, which is the first real piece of literacy in this language, and which is going to be the foundation for everything we build from here. Next time on Rust, gently, we will look at the simplest thing a program can hold on to, which is a value with a name attached. We will meet the idea of a variable, which is one of the most basic ideas in all of programming, and we will see how Rust thinks about it a little differently from most other languages, in a way that is going to matter for everything that comes after. We will also see, for the first time, what it looks like when the compiler says no, and we will learn to read what it tells us, gently, the way you might learn to read the markings a careful editor leaves on your first draft. Until then, take good care of yourself. I will see you in the next one.